The Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
John said to the crowds that came out to be baptized by him, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruits worthy of repentance. Do not begin to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now, the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." And the crowds asked him, "What then should we do?" In reply, he said to them, "Whoever has two coats must share with anyone who has none. And whoever has food must do likewise." Even tax collectors came to be baptized, and they asked him, "Teacher, what should we do?" He said to them, "Collect no more than the amount prescribed for you." Soldiers also asked him, "And we, what should we do?" He said to them, "Do not extort money from anyone by threats or false accusations, and be satisfied with your wages." As the people were filled with expectation, and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, "I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." So with many other exhortations, he proclaimed the good news to the people. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Dear siblings in Christ, grace to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, my clergy colleagues and I call this Brood of Vipers Sunday. You got a picture of John the Baptist, right? Wearing camel's hair and eating locusts and honey. Now, I don't know about you, but I've watched Andrew Zimmern's show, Bizarre Foods. And he apparently has had acquired a taste for bugs, but I wouldn't go there. But John had one purpose in his life. It was to point to Jesus. And John gets at least one or two Sundays every Advent where we hear John the Baptist preparing the way for Jesus. And John preaches like an Old Testament prophet. Straighten up and fly away, or God's going to come with vengeance. I remember when I first came and we did a walk through the entire Bible, and we got into the prophets, and it was weighty. Like, their message was heavy. And finally, one of the ways that we sorted things out was there was a whiteboard in the room. And I put two columns. Things God approves of and things God disapproves of. And that helped to clarify it. Because prophets, now, they're not fortune tellers. Okay, that's something to get off the table. But prophets were in tune to God. And they could read the signs of the day. And they would speak to those things that were happening around them. And they would say some of the same things that John said. God disapproves of injustice. God disapproves of unmerciful actions. God disapproves of the poor getting stepped on. And the list goes on and on. And those Old Testament prophets had a sense that there would be judgment and it would be fierce. And of course, God's people had been defeated many times in the Old Testament, but God never left them. They were defeated as a nation, but God never left them. But they always remained hopeful that God would come and finally be revealed in strength and in glory. And John the Baptist realizes that the culmination of all the hopes of the people of Israel were about to be fulfilled. He knows that he is the one to point to Jesus. But the thing is, he's never heard Jesus preach. Right? This has always bothered me about John the Baptist. Because Jesus never called anybody a brood of vipers. Right? Well, the Pharisees, yeah. It's always good to have a retired clergy person in the congregation. And that's who John was talking to. You see, John was doing a baptism of repentance. Turn toward God. Turn toward the things of God. People were coming to get their sins washed away by John. John was baptizing. Baptizing was a washing. But John knew, as well as I hope you all do, that baptism is not fire insurance, so to speak. Some people have a kind of superstitious view of that. I had a young mother once whose child needed emergency surgery. This was back in Wisconsin. The hospital was 45 minutes away from West Bend. And as soon as I heard that the child needed surgery, I zoomed to the hospital. And I got there, and the mother was inconsolable, and I thought the worst had happened. But she said, "She's not baptized yet. What happens if she doesn't get out of surgery?" And my response was, God is not going to hold your innocent baby accountable for my lack of ability to get here before she went into surgery. That's not how God operates. Baptism is not fire insurance. John's baptism was a cleansing from the past. And he wanted the people who were coming for that baptism to know that. But did you see what his prescription was for them? Because they asked, "How do we repent?" And he said, "If somebody doesn't have a coat and you have two, give them a coat." That's generosity. Generosity is a mark of the followers of Jesus. The tax collectors, "Teacher, what should we do?" "Don't take more than is rightfully due." Justice. Soldiers asked, "What should we do?" And he said, "Don't extort money from anyone by threats or false accusations, and be satisfied with what you have. Threats and false accusations, those are a misuse of power. When people lord their power over other people, that is not gospel. That's sin. And John said, I'm not it. I'm just the one who's pointing to and helping prepare the way. Pave the road with Puritan papers, right? But he never heard Jesus preach. He had the message right. And it's the same God from the Old Testament to the New. Justice and mercy and generosity. You know, what should I do? Well, love justice and mercy and kindness and walk humbly with your God. That's from Micah 6:8. Okay, it's the same God. But John, like the Old Testament prophets, was expecting the Messiah to come and kick some behind and take names and conquer. Rome should go down with force. And Jesus shows up. And he says, blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the poor in spirit. You know the Beatitudes. That's the preaching of Jesus. Or from the very next chapter in Luke, where Jesus announces his purpose in his inaugural speech. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to bring good news to the poor. And so, if we are part and parcel of anything that brings bad news to the poor, we might be falling into that brood of vipers category. I came to set the oppressed free. If we are part and parcel buying into oppressive systems, that's brood of vipers stuff. Do you see? Jesus came to liberate, to set free. John's baptism was a cleansing from the past, but Jesus' baptism is a call to a new future. And we'll hear it in Mary's song next week. My soul magnifies the Lord. He's brought good news to the poor. He brings the high and mighty down and lifts up the lowly. Jesus, when he was being nailed to the cross, said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. That was the message of Jesus. You see, we're still called to repentance. We're still called to turn from our ways when we think being part of the brood of vipers and part of the world's appreciation for that kind of power. But we're called as disciples, we're commissioned at baptism to follow Jesus in a better way. I want to take just a minute to talk about that lesson from Philippians. Rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. The older I get, the more I appreciate Paul here. When I was younger, I used to think of this line being, by the way, don't ever do this, but when a grown-up would tell a kid, smile! It can't be that bad. Have you ever done that? Don't do that. Because maybe it is that bad. You don't know. But I preached on this text out at Knox County Nursing Home on Thursday. And was surrounded by people who didn't necessarily have a lot to rejoice about. But you could see faith shining through when we talked about rejoicing in the one who saves, rejoicing in the one who liberates, rejoicing in the one who will finally have the last word and who will set us all free. And we rejoiced. We sang a whole bunch of carols and hymns because singing releases that. Rejoice in the Lord always. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. And that's the message of Advent. The Lord is nearer than we think. Nearer than we can imagine. Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And here's the line you hear every Sunday. And Paul's life was not great. He was in prison, right? And times were hard, and Rome was heavy-handed. And Paul said, "And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Hold on to the promises of God. You've heard the words of Jesus, which John had never heard before. You are not a brood of vipers. You are beloved children of God. We are called to repent when we turn away from God's ways. But when we repent, God is calling us back. Calling us back in love and saying, "Of course I forgive you. You're my prodigal. I will always love you." And the peace of God that passes all understanding will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.